Farmland values continue to soar at or near record levels. Are there concerns on the horizon?
Well, stay tuned to the latest Well-Grounded podcast to find out. This is Randy Conan from the Red River Farm Network.
And this is Jason Menke, farmland and beetstock broker at Acres and Shares.
This podcast brings together experts from the world of agriculture and real estate. We'll talk about farmland values, industry trends, and the economy.
In this edition of Well Grounded, our guests are Ag Country appraisers Chad Wiggestrand and A.J. Hammond.
Chad is a senior appraiser and team lead for Ag Country Farm Credit Services and has been employed with Ag Country for the past 15 years and has 25 years of appraisal experience overall. He is past president of the North Dakota chapter of the Appraisal Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers and a current member of the National Appraisal Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers. Wiggestrand obtained a Bachelor of Business Administration degree from the University of North Dakota in 1994 and received his accredited rural appraisal designation in 2015. Originally from Buxton, North Dakota, he currently resides in Grand Forks. Chad appraises farmland in northwest Minnesota, covers an area of approximately 11 counties, and strives to complete professional appraisals with good reasoning and support to give an estimated opinion of value for our association and third-party fee clients. He loves spending time at the lake, spending time with family, and watching sports of all kinds.
AJ is a certified general appraiser serving the northeast region of North Dakota. He holds a bachelor's degree in business economics from the University of North Dakota. He has worked for Ag Country Farm Credit Services for more than 7 years, with his primary focus appraisal being farmland, agricultural land, and buildings. AJ is currently serving on the American Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers North Dakota Chapter Board. Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you for having us.
So, what a wild ride, we've been on. It really started in the fall of 2021. From what I'm seeing, early fall sales have been stronger than anticipated. What are you guys seeing?
Yeah, we're seeing very strong values up and down the valley. Areas that have, in my area anyway, which is northwest Minnesota, I've had areas that have been privately negotiated for years. Most of the sales to where now there's some brokerage sales in there, and I'm seeing some steep increases this year.
Yeah, it seems like every sale you see is the highest recent sale. It's no sign of slowing down yet.
I had a sale last week. We're recording this in the first week or so of November. It was in northeast North Dakota, outside of the valley. There had been a sale kind of up in that Langdon area that was close or over $7,000 an acre. I didn't think we'd get anywhere close to that, and I think we ended up at 6,800 on the deeded acres. So, you know, just kind of blew my expectations on that sale.
Has the rising interest rates had an impact on sales?
Yeah, currently we haven't seen any slowdown because of interest rates, mainly probably due to commodity prices. We had good crop this year. There's been good government programs that farmers have been able to take advantage of in the last couple of years, and I think that's kept strength in the market.
Yeah, operators having, you know, good amounts of cash to put down kind of eats away at that higher interest rate.
You know, for somebody who hasn't had a farm appraisal, can you just give us a, you know, high level look at what the appraisal process works like and what's involved for farmland appraisals?
Probably not such a high level, but a simplification of it is, yeah, an appraisal is forming an opinion of value based on market evidence or market factors out there, i.e. sales. Typically, there's three approaches to value. You got the cost approach, income approach, and sales comparison approach. And basically, by looking at your sales, other market evidence, as far as listings from brokers as yourself, and other items like that, you can form an opinion and kind of get a read on the market. But at this time, that's easier said than done.
Do you guys do additional, like, non-appraisal work at all in your jobs with Ag Country?
Or non-loan work.
Non-loan work, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, 75% of what we do is internal to Ag Country's lending, but we're also qualified and able to do outside appraisals, you know, a lot of estate work or working on one for a gift tax right now.
Yeah, and that, you know, that percentage, of course, varies from appraiser to appraiser. But typically, other banks use us to, you know, to do similar work that we do for Ag Country, estate work. If someone wants to sell, you know, they'll come to us to get an opinion on a value, things like that. So, yeah, we do plenty of fee appraisals.
Yep. Yeah, I feel like you're seeing that more often these last few years of sellers wanting an appraisal before they make a deal with somebody because, you know, they hear about high prices and all that and want to see, you know, see what it really is, or what we really think it is.
Yeah, I know anytime that somebody will contact me and want to do a private deal with a tenant or family member, I'll certainly recommend an appraisal. And, you know, I think one of the challenges right now with these super strong sales is that, you know, you're working off the data that you have, and, you know, you can't predict what the new sales are going to be. So in a strong market like now, you know, it could certainly be under, but it's a lot better than you know, if they were just to sell it to the tenant or family member at their price.
Yeah, does that change, like we're seeing rising land prices, rents, all that going up, does that change how you appraise things, or is that pretty much a set pattern?
No, I mean the methods of appraising stay the same. It's just when you got such an upper stress on the market where things are basically selling at a record level every week, what we do is look historical. So we can't, like Jason said, we don't look ahead. We can't project what's going to happen. So in this type of market, typically what we say today could be in a week, in a month, could be way higher when the way things are going right now.
One of the components of an appraisal is capitalization rate. Can you explain to our listeners what the cap rate is and how it's calculated for your appraisal purposes?
The basic premise of the cap rate, we derive those from our sales. So we look at net income divided by the sales price. Net income being gross income less any expenses. We take out real estate taxes and then a 5%, you know, what we call a management fee if you're using a broker to manage your cropland lease. And that would give you your cap rate. So on a, say, $100,000 sale, I'll use that for an easy number. If you had $3,000 worth of net income, you've got a 3% cap rate. And then we can take that cap rate as far as, you know, utilizing that in appraisal, we can take that cap rate and apply that to our estimated net income of your subject property to suggest a market value.
What's a good cap rate for farmland today then?
Boy, you got, that's been going down and down in these last few years. Really good cropland. I would say you're going to be running 1.75% to 2.25% is going to catch a majority of your really high end ground. Some of the stuff out of the valley, you're probably, you know, 2.5 to 3% is going to catch a lot of that, I think. And CRP cropland is not much higher than that anymore. So
it's crazy to think when I got in the industry, I mean, interest rates were totally different, but there was a huge gap. You know, this was around 2000, and we'd actually worked together, Chad. But, you know, the rule of thumb back then was in the valley was 4 to 6% rate of return. Outside of the valley was 6 to 8, and CRP was 8 to 10%. And it's just crazy how it's tightened up. And, you know, part of it's the low interest rate environment right now, you know, and finding, you know, different returns out there. So it's you know, just kind of fascinating how, especially the land outside of the valley, isn't much different, you know, anymore.
Right. And I think we talked about that a few years ago, Jason, just on the phone, in regards to the CRP rates, you know, and exactly what it was. It was 10%. And now you just don't see that high of a cap rate on anything anymore.
Just so people know, CRP, Conservation Reserve Program, acres where you idle land for a time being. So, and you mentioned that those cap rates have been coming way down too.
Yeah, those have been coming way down. You know, I think there's a lot of farmers that are looking as that as an investment tool to expand their operations, and and get that land back into production, and they're willing to wait maybe a couple of years till that CRP runs out to get it back into production, and they're willing to pay higher values for it than in past years.
So my take on the lower cap rate is, you know, what I've seen historically is that farmers are willing to take that extra capital that they're making and invest it into purchases, whether it's land, equipment, beet stock. But in general, they're not willing to, you know, cash rents have gone up, but just not at the same pace. They're typically not willing to really push those cash rents. I mean, what's your take on the lower cap rate?
Well, yeah, definitely the rents, you know, don't keep up in that regards to the increase in land values, which is driving that cap rate down. What are you seeing, AJ?
Well, the thing to remember with cap rates is it's looking at it, like Chad might have mentioned, as an investment. So, you know, what's your net income off this investment? Well, at least in my territory, I'm still seeing very strong, or the strongest part of the market isn't investors, it's still operators. So they're not looking at it and say, okay, what's my return off this land? They just want the land to farm it. So if the net, you know, they're not looking at the cash rent side of it, which is really where we're getting that cap rate from.
Let's transition back to land sales. And based on the sales you guys track, how would you categorize land supply this fall?
Seen a lot of sales, but like we said earlier, every sale seems to be high. So I don't know if that suggests there's a deficit or a shortage.
I've seen plenty of sales in my area, probably I would say more than typical, slightly above average, if anything.
And you're seeing some sales, you know, public sales now in areas that have been a lot of private sales in the past, and now you're seeing public sales, and they've been very strong. So, you know, and that's probably a, you know, seller's market right now, so they want to get these things publicly advertised.
Is that a seasonal trend or not?
Somewhat. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I would see a lot for sale in the middle of the summer, but, you know, fall and spring.
Coming out of harvest and then right before planting, that would be the big times for sales. I would think you would agree with that, Jason.
Yeah, you know, we had a stretch probably back in 2012, 13, where it really didn't matter when you sold land. You know, we might be in that stretch right now where you could have summer sales and be successful. It didn't seem like there was as much land on the market this summer, you know, than there maybe was back 10 years ago. But, you know, historically land sold from fall till spring. You know, when you look at kind of that time frame, you know, what I'm seeing right now is, you know, as I mentioned in the intro, the two concerns that I see would be interest rates. And as we've talked about early on, it doesn't seem like they've had an impact. I also think when it comes to net farm income, which is driving this thing, you know, we were fortunate to have pretty good crops up here. The prices are still really strong, you know, but those expenses have increased. So, you know, I'm kind of looking at we can't predict more than a month or two out, but it certainly seems like there's a good window from now to spring to, you know, to get something sold before interest rates or those expenses catch up. What are your thoughts?
Interest rates are, you know, they're ticking up, but I guess if you looked at it historically, these rates are still not bad.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure there's guys out there that remember 18-20% interest rates. So 7-8, wherever they are now, it's a lot worse than that 2-3% we had, but they're still favorable rates historically.
I was out in the country visiting with some lenders about a month ago, and there was a younger lender who hadn't been through any of those times. And, you know, when I was asking him about this deal, he said, well, interest rates are at 8%, you know, who's going to take money out? And I just kind of laughed because, as Chad mentioned, it's still pretty low historically.
Yeah.
Do values change east, west of the river?
Well, I guess, how Ag Country does it, we each have our own territory, so AJ would be west of the river. I'm east of the river in Minnesota.
I'd say typically the North Dakota side, you know, if we're talking the valley, the North Dakota side has been stronger on the Minnesota side?
Yeah, I would say on average that'd be true. Yep. Yeah, you know, there's, of course, there's different pockets all around that.
Does state tax structure have anything to do with that at all or not?
I think to some degree that taxes in the Minnesota side, especially when you get perhaps into Polk County where taxes are quite a bit higher, probably may have something to do with that.
So as crazy as valleys have gotten, maybe for you, Chad, and AJ, is there a way to kind of take a look at the areas that you guys do appraisal work in and give a range of values of what you've seen sales recently?
Yeah, it'd be broad. You know, if we started in the valley, probably the strongest area that I've seen has been around Grafton, which I guess is a typically competitive area. You know, you get sugar beets and potatoes in there, and you know, I've seen stuff that's, you know, easily double from what it was 2 years ago. So, you know, before stuff was selling $4,000 to $8,000 there, and we've got sales the top in my area is in that Grafton area at about $12,500 per tillable acre. You know, some pretty nice stuff southwest of town there, and then you know the stuff that was $4,000 is easily $6,000-$8,000 now. So
yeah, and I'm thinking most of my area, I mean, of course my highs would be in Polk County where we're seeing, you know, pushing nine. You know, in the valley, that's gonna hit 5 to 10 is gonna hit almost everything.
You know, we don't have a lot of pasture and hayland around here, but you know, I'm guessing that's increased as well. Do you guys do much work on pasture or hayland appraisal wise?
Some, yeah. You know, I work as far west as Towner County. So, you know, the further west you get, it makes sense. You see more pasture and hay ground. That certainly hasn't went up at the same rate as farmland. I feel like that's held fairly stable.
Yeah.
What I've seen.
And then east of the river where I'm at, I don't have just a straight pasture piece. Almost all my land has the woods and recreational value with pasture. So they have been increasing, but slightly compared to the crop land.
Speaking of that, is there much interest in recreational land?
Oh, yeah. There's always plenty of sales of rec land with investors and just people wanting their spot to hunt. And yeah, I see plenty of sales for rec land.
Over the years, I've had conversations with both of you about drain tile. Last summer, we had Roger Ellingson on. You know, what's your feedback as far as, you know, have you seen much sold as far as drain tile goes? And you know, what's that added value for drain tile?
Chad would have seen more, or has seen more sales of drain tile ground than I do on the North Dakota side. So I'll let him speak.
Yeah, we've seen that. I've been keeping track of that for the last probably 6-7 years when drain tiles really started taking off. Of course, you see it sitting in fields everywhere now, you know, especially in the fall. But typically, what I've been seeing is it could add anywhere from $500 to $850 an acre. You know, where typical cost to put it in is probably, last I've seen, it's been a little while since I've worked with it, but last I seen was probably $1,200 around an acre to put in. That's probably with the pump.
Any other additional comments you guys have or anything you want to add to the conversation?
No, I think it's been fun. This is a new adventure for me, my first podcast. So.
Well, thanks to Chad Wiggestrand and AJ Hammond for being part of this conversation. The Well-Grounded Podcast is a presentation of Acres and Shares and the Red River Farm Network. If you have farmland or beetstock questions, please give me a call at 218-779-1293.
And you can find this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. It's also available at rrfn.com and acresandshares.com. Until next time, I'm Randy Conan.
And I'm Jason Menke.